The opinions voiced in Investing Simplified with Bo Caldwell are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine what may be appropriate for you, consult with an attorney, accountant, financial, or tax advisor prior to investing. Investors cannot invest directly in indexes. The performance of any index is not indicative of any investment and does not take into account the effects of inflation and the fees and expenses associated with investing. A diversified portfolio does not assure profit or prevent losses in a declining market. Roth IRA conversion is a taxable event. Guests on Investing Simplified are not affiliated with Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated. Investment services offered through Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, an SEC registered investment advisor.
Welcome into Investing Simplified. However you're listening, thank you for making us a part of your day. I'm Bo Caldwell, CFP of Price Financial Group. Welcome back to the show. Welcome back to myself. As I know, if you've been listening for a while, you've noticed that I have been absent from the show for a few weeks now. And, you know, as we tip off this show, I want to make sure to kind of talk about that a little bit, is because sharing one of those things, you know, when you hear doctors will often say this, or you'll hear them kind of lament it. And oftentimes you really find it in financial advisor lives as well, where we'll say something along the lines of "do as I say, not as I do" sort of thing, right? Or, you know, financial advisors historically have the hardest time following their own advice. I've noticed doctors are the same. There's so many doctors that are smokers, right? And they all know that smoking cigarettes is bad for your lungs and causes cancer, but yet they, a lot of them, doctors and nurses, will actually smoke. So one of the things I've been telling people for years and years and years is to get a fireproof safe to put all your important documents in. And so the reason I like to have a fireproof safe is to put your will or your trust, your estate planning documents, if you don't want to get a safety deposit box at the bank. A lot of people also have a safety deposit box at the bank to hold birth certificates and passports and all those important things. But often the pushback that I've gotten from the safety deposit box is, A, you don't want to pay the monthly cost or annual cost to have that box. And B, it's difficult to get at if you need to get at something quickly. But then a lot of times people will hold that money in a safe at home, but it's not fireproof, or they're in some sort of fireproof. Well, my family and I, unfortunately, just a few weeks ago, lost our home in a house fire. And it was a really sad episode. They determined it was a short in the toaster, you know, the electrical short in the electrical column in our kitchen. And it actually burned through our kitchen into our bedroom and took the entire house down. And unfortunately, our entire home was a total loss. And fortunately for me, the passports that we had, that we did have at home, that weren't in a fireproof safe, because I didn't get a fireproof safe, despite sharing that with, you know, countless folks over the years, they're a bit singed, but they are okay and they should still be usable. A lot of our important documents were luckily in a closet that didn't get burned, just got destroyed by smoke, but they are, you know, unusable. And we do have a safe deposit box at the bank that we have used for different things. But the issue is that we, you know, weren't prepared in that respect in terms of preparing with a fireproof safe. And so that has been the reason that I have been absent from the show, and have been actually, you know, Matt have done a great job of, you know, taking over for me and being here to bring you the content that keeps you coming back to listen to the show. But I didn't want you to think that I had vacated La Prem. I'd been gone. I just have been dealing with some outside issues. And I feel like sharing about it can really help. And maybe someone that's out there listening will think, oh my goodness, I should get a fireproof safe. And a shameless plug for my homeowner's insurance agent, and I get no kickback or no ish off of plugging him on here, but I'm happy to, because without him, and if I hadn't had him setting us up for the best homeowner's insurance that we could have available through, he happens to be through Farmers Insurance, and his name is Joe Froman. So if you want to look up Joe Froman, F-R-O-M-A-N, on Farmers Insurance, I've told everybody that'll listen, if you're looking for a new insurance agent, if you haven't reviewed your homeowner's insurance and your coverage, give him a call, because a lot of times people will push back on those property and casualty insurances because they'll say, Farmers, they're really expensive. I have, you know, Geico or the General, or, you know, one of the 100% online 800 number insurance agents, and it is cheaper for sure. I pay more in both homeowners and car insurance than I would if I was at one of those online discount brokers. But the difference is when my home burned down on a Saturday after I finished speaking with the fire inspector before they would let me go into the house to review, you know, everything once they had the fire all put out, I called my insurance agent on the, you know, Saturday afternoon, left him a message. Within an hour, I had a message back from him that the claim had been filed, had a copy of the claim in my inbox so I could see the claim that had been filed, and he asked if he could come meet me at the house on Sunday. Now, he happens to live just a couple towns over from where my family and I live, and his office is just down the road. And to me, paying that premium to have that kind of a service is important. Now, he's also met with all three of the contractors that we interviewed in terms of doing the restoration of our home. He met with us and the insurance adjuster that works for the same company, has been a champion for my wife and I. And so I can't say enough about having that hands-on approach to the property and casualty insurance. And, you know, insurance like that, you don't think about ever needing because you just don't ever think that it'll happen. And in his 20 years that he's been in the business, we are his fifth fire loss. You know, here in Oregon, you hear a lot about wind, right? And tree limbs and tree trunks falling. And luckily, we were very blessed not to have any of that happen, or pipes bursting or different things like that in the freeze. But fire is a huge damager. And it's not just the fire that damages your house. It's the smoke. And it's the water from the firemen that put it out. We actually had 9 fire engines at our house. That's how big the fire was. And I also can't say enough in gratitude to the Lake Oswego Fire Department and Tualatin Valley Fire Department, because we had 2 different departments actually that showed up because the fire was so bad. And they were just very, very wonderful to work with in that situation. It's obviously not something that you ever want to have to deal with in a fire situation like that, but I can't thank them enough for being there. So why am I bringing all this up other than just to excuse my absence? I think it's also an allegory to when you're working with your finances, your retirement planning, with your estate planning, with your, you know, your accounting, your tax planning, all of those pieces. A lot of times you hear a lot of pushback from folks about fees and costs, and they don't want to pay something up front, and they don't want to pay somebody for something they could do on their own at Vanguard for free. Or, and nothing against Vanguard, don't get me wrong. You know, Jack Bogle invented the index fund pretty much, and it's, you know, Vanguard does a really great job as well. But having that hands-on touch, that personal touch, someone who is nearby potentially, and, you know, I say that because most of the folks, the families that we serve are here in the area, although we do have families that we serve all over the country, but having someone nearby who either you have their cell phone number or you have their email, or you can text the office line. Our office line has texting available, so our clients can text the office if they need to, can receive text confirmations from our office line for appointments. But having somebody close by that will pick up the phone, that is not an 800 number that you're going to have to verify with the last 4 of your social and your birthday and all the things. They know you. They know your voice. They know your face when you sit down with them and can go over your personal situation, because there may be a situation, and it could be coming in the near future with markets. It could be coming in the near future with your retirement planning, and I hope it doesn't. But if you had a situation like your home burns down, but instead of your home, it's your retirement plan, right? And so if you haven't prepared for that, then having someone who is close by that knows your situation can be really helpful. And if you have prepared for it, somebody that can keep you on the rails, because a lot of times you're going to hear that, you know, there's all the news going everywhere that, hey, the Fed is raising interest, the Fed's lowering interest rates, we have a presidential election, blah, blah, taxes, blah, blah. All those things are true, and they will affect your retirement planning, and they will affect your investment planning. But if you have a guy or a gal, and I shouldn't be, you have a person, it's 2024, right? You have a person that you can call that is looking over your situation, knows you, knows your family, knows what your personal goals are and what's important to you when it comes to that money. You'll have a far better experience even in the face of a tragedy. So even in the face of something going horrendously wrong, and I use the analogy, like I said, that, you know, my home burned down, and we use that analogy in your retirement plan. If there's a 2000, a 2008, you repeat sake of 2020, a 19, you know, a Black Monday, 1987, a 1994 when interest rates spiked, you know, faster than they had up until this last couple of years. But you have a situation that really rocks your portfolio. The worst thing, generally speaking, that you can do is panic. And if you have somebody that's helping you walk you through that, then they can explain to you that, hey, this is part of the plan. And if you work with a team like ours at Price Financial Group, we help to build what we like to call the all-weather portfolio. And that doesn't mean that you won't lose money investing in the markets. That doesn't mean that you will always make money. And that doesn't mean that we can guarantee anything, because we can't. The only thing that your financial advisor can guarantee is death and taxes, right? And even then, you know, there are some politicians talking about eliminating taxes. So the only thing that we can guarantee is death, I guess, you know, to be macabre. Although with AI and all the things that they're doing, I think that their plans to be out of science fiction, right, to live on as a computer, you know, upload your consciousness into the multiverse or whatever. But the idea is that you know what your plan is, and you know the roadmap that you're trying to take, and you know what twists and turns to, you know, be expecting. And if they do come, and if there are unexpected turns, you have somebody that you can lean on to help you calm yourself down. You go through a process like you do with our team, have that Investing Simplified roadmap, you know, the Thomas Guide, for those of us who remember, you know, before GPS, you know, the Thomas Guide maps were delightful, and you could, you know, pinpoint exactly where you wanted to go and how to get there. We like to think that we're a Thomas Guide, but on steroids, because we also utilize math, probabilities, and historical precedent to try and see where the traffic might be. So it is more like a GPS, or like Waze, you know, which is a GPS I know a lot of folks use, where it can tell you, hey, this route may not be the fastest to get there. This route looks to be a little bit faster. And whereas I'm not saying fast, maybe it's a little smoother in your ride, and build that portfolio that is built for you, for your risk tolerance, and for your personalized goals. And we do that here at Price Financial Group in a way so that we do better when you do better. And I know that phrase is thrown around a lot by another firm that's here in the Pacific Northwest, like they're the ones who invented it and the only ones who do it. They aren't. So, and if it's not us, if it's not Price Financial Group, although I think we personally, in my personal opinion, I think we're the best. But although, you know, there are hundreds of other fiduciary financial advisors here around town or around the town where you're listening, make sure that you talk to one of them if you haven't reviewed your plan. And if you don't have one that you're looking at and you'd like to review your plan, complimentary for radio listeners, you can give our office a call, 503-253-3000. Or visit www.pricefg.com. We'll set up a time to sit down with you, either virtually, over the phone, if you just want to have that introductory call over the phone, don't want to commit too much time, we're happy to do that. Or we can sit down over Zoom. We can also sit down in person at one of our area locations, and an advisor from our team will introduce themselves, will walk you through our process. They'll get to know you, your situation, and we'll tell you if we think we can help. And if we do think we can help, we'll tell you how and what that looks like, and we'll ask you if you want to work with us. And if you don't, no worries. At least you had somebody take a look at your situation and tell you, no, you look good. Everything looks great. But if it is something that makes sense to you, it might make sense to sit down for no obligation and see what that looks like. So give us a call, 503-253-3000, or visit www.pricefg.com. I'm going to take a quick break here, but before I let you go, get that fireproof safe. Like I said, if you can use me as an example, get that fireproof safe to store all those important things in your home. Hopefully you'll never need to use it, just like you'll hopefully never need to use your homeowner's insurance. But just in case, I think it's a smart plan. We'll be right back with more Investing Simplified.
Leaving an employer can be stressful and overwhelming, but once the dust settles and you're at a new job or perhaps retired, it is important to consider your options for that retirement plan left behind. If this situation applies and you would like to hear more about options available for 401k, 403b, or other retirement account rollovers, please give our office a call at 503-253-3000 to schedule a complimentary consultation with someone on the team to go over your specific and individual situation. We will take the time to get to know you, your goals, and let you know what the best course of action is for you and your family.
Welcome back into Investing Simplified. If you're just now joining us, thanks for tuning in. As a reminder, if you missed part of our show, you can always download the replay from Apple to iTunes, or visit our website, www.pricefg.com. We try to post those shows, you know, within a couple of days after airing, but sometimes it takes us a little while. So if you go on there and don't see it, or don't see an episode you were listening to, just give it a you know, a few days and we should have it up there. Last segment, I was talking about, you know, the market update and outlooks for the market. And a lot of times people ask, well, how do you get to those outlooks and how do you get to those, you know, valuations? How do you get to, you know, where you think, you know, kind of what the market is going to do? And again, I have to put this out there for the regulators, right? It is not my prediction that I'm saying it will happen. This is what I think or my expectation, but I am often wrong. We used to joke, you know, Chuck Price, who started the firm and used to run this radio show several years ago, used to always joke that his crystal ball was cloudy. And I actually have his crystal ball that he left for us when he retired. And it's pretty cloudy. It doesn't really give me an accurate outlook on what the markets will do. But how do we get a little more accurate, right? How do we get an idea of what may happen? There are traditionally two different ways of analyzing the market and analyzing where the markets might go. And you may have heard the terms. One is fundamental analysis, and the second is technical analysis. I'm going to highlight kind of the differences between the two and tell you where I'm looking and where I think you can utilize those pieces for your investing if you'd like. Now, again, whenever you're doing analysis of the markets or analysis of, you know, investments, the caveat always comes is I always recommend you work with a professional to take an analysis of your portfolio and of your outlook and all the things that you've looked into, just even just to get that second opinion, right? And always make sure that everything you're doing applies to your specific situation, because everybody's situation is different and everybody's investing situation is different. And the one thing I didn't mention in there that we always go over with our clients and we always go over with prospective clients, people that are, you know, we're running plans for, is your tolerance for risk. Because you can do all the analysis in the world, and I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the differences between the two kinds of analyses, I guess you should say, and how to use them. But overall, it really matters what your plan is, what your goals are, and what your tolerance for risk is. Because if you have zero tolerance for risk, which many people do, and there's nothing wrong with that, why would you buy the S&P 500 right now with a dividend yield of 4% or expected return of maybe 5% when you could go out and buy a risk-free government bond for 5%? Interest rates are going way, way up. And, you know, later on, I'll talk about kind of the rates that we're seeing, you know, as of the week that ended on, you know, February 24th, 2023. So I can tell you where rates are right now, but that could change day to day. That'll change, you know, week to week. It depends on what the Fed does. You heard them, you know, speak last week. They're thinking about raising rates. So you just don't know. But the key is making sure that you've analyzed how it affects you and how it fits in your overall picture, right? So with that, the legal beagle stuff out of the way, what's the difference between fundamental and technical analysis? Well, you can kind of extrapolate from the names of them what they mean, but a fundamental analysis is analyzing the market and stocks and individual companies and bonds. You're analyzing from what are their fundamentals, right? So if you're talking about a company, you're analyzing, let's take Apple, for instance, right? Yeah, it's a very popular company. I think it's still the largest company by market capitalization, you know, in the S&P 500. It also represents a huge part of the S&P 500. So generally speaking, as Apple goes, so goes the overall market, right? But if you're analyzing Apple, you're going to analyze its cash flow. You're going to look at their debt load. You're going to look at their debt payments, look at their earnings, their revenue. You're going to look at, is their CEO going to be there for a long time? Do they have internal struggles there? Do they have any lawsuits? You know, in the case of like a Johnson & Johnson or, you know, other companies that have had lawsuits there. I know the Supreme Court is considering a lawsuit against Google now. You know, these things, when you're looking at these big companies, you're going to analyze fundamentally, how is that going to affect, right? So hypothetically, one would logically think that perhaps if, you know, if a company is sued and successfully sued, then their stock price is probably going to suffer, right? So that's fundamental analysis. It also applies to the overall markets where you're going, hey, we're looking at the overall stock market, the S&P 500, based on whatever your annualized profits model, there's several different models that are out there from, you know, Nobel Prize winning economists. So obviously smart people that where they analyze and say, okay, here's what the risk-free rate is. So what's the rate I could get on a treasury versus having to take risk in the stock market? So if I need to take risk in the stock market, what kind of return do I logically need to get for it to be at a fair value? What kind of price would I pay for that return that's going to be in excess? So that's fundamental analysis, right? So you're analyzing good, strong companies, seeing how their balance sheets look. You'll see a lot of mutual funds or ETFs that are out there will describe their strategy like that. Okay, we're going to look at a top-down or even a bottom-up fundamental analysis. Okay, you're going to look in, here's the companies that have strong balance sheets, that have paid a strong dividend, maybe the ones that are only in the U.S., maybe the ones that only, you know, have 20% debt load. I don't know. You know, you're looking at a lot of different, there's infinite number of ways to analyze stocks fundamentally. The other way to analyze stocks or markets is what's called technical analysis. And I'm going to spend a little bit more time on this one because fundamental analysis makes sense, right? When you think about fundamental analysis, you've heard the old adage, buy what you know, buy what you support, or buy where you shop, right? A lot of people I know will buy, you know, a store. They'll buy a brand that they buy a lot of. You've got a lot of folks that work at Nike here that, you know, have a lot of their 401k tied up in Nike stock, right? Because they know Nike, they work for Nike, they feel like they can affect it and they believe in the company because it's a really strong company for them, obviously, right? So they have a lot of ownership in that stock. So that's your fundamental analysis, which I think is relatively intuitive when you're thinking about what stocks to buy. Technical analysis is more looking at when to buy the stocks, right? Because the technical analysis is that, hey, this stock has sold off significantly, so it's at a low price, or this stock is too high, so it's not a good place to buy it. And that's the basics of it. But then you add in other factors such as where it's moved historically. So technical analysis, for the most part, analyzes price movement or price action in the stock. So it's going to analyze where the stock has moved, how fast it's moved, maybe how much volume in terms of how many buyers and sellers have been in that stock. Where has it bounced before? Where has it stopped moving before? You may have heard the terms called support and resistance when applied to technical analysis of stocks. And those are intuitive, you know, names, because support would be logically where there's support for the stock. So if it's fallen to a certain level and it's bounced there before, logically it might bounce there again, because if there were a lot of people willing to buy it at that price previously, then logically there might be more people willing to buy it there again. Because when you look at how stocks move, right, they move up because there are more buyers than sellers, or more people want to buy it than sell it. And it moves down because there are more sellers than buyers, right? And so it'll move down. So you got people that really want to sell it, so they have to find buyers to sell it. And maybe people are willing to buy it at a lower price. So if a stock is $150 a share and you want to sell it, you go try and sell it, but maybe there's nobody that wants to buy it at $150, but there's people that will buy it at $145. So you sell your stock at $150 to those people at $145. Now the stock price is $145. So when you're looking on your iPhone or your Android, right, you're seeing where the stock has moved, what the price is, that will show you the price movement on the stock, because of that's where the last buyer was. So where the last seller was, right? That's where the last transaction happened, was at a given stock price. So when you're looking at technical analysis, you can look and see, okay, well, if the stock came and it bounced at $100, it, you know, came down, got down to $100 and then went up, and then went down to $100 and then went up. Logically, the next time it comes down to $100, there might be some buyers there. And that's the basis of technical analysis, right? Now, you can get into the weeds and you can really go down a rabbit hole with analyzing, you know, stock price movements with charts. And you'll see chartists that come on the TV and talk about moving averages, and they're talking about patterns that are forming in the stocks, and they're talking about, this is, you know, major resistance or major support. You may have heard the terms golden cross, different things like that. And the reality of those is that they do add probability to what's going to happen in the stock. So you can make a guess based on what it's done in the past, and you can make a guess based on those patterns that the stock is forming on a chart when you chart that price action, the price movement. But you can't know for sure, because just because a stock bounced at a certain price before doesn't mean it'll bounce there again. And just because the last time a stock got to a certain level, it sold off really hard, doesn't mean it will again. So just like fundamental analysis, technical analysis is, for lack of a better phrase, a guess, right? It's not a guess so much as an educated guess. Both of them are, right? You can make educated guesses based on that analysis as to where the stock will go or where the market will go, because it's done it before and because you look historical precedent, it's happened. But there's a reason that on all mutual fund, you know, prospectuses, on all programs that talk about what their stock has done or what their company has earned in the past, all the advertising materials you'll see has that caveat, that disclaimer at the end, that past performance is not indicative of future results. So just because the market has historically traded at a price to earnings ratio of 17 and it's now trading at 24 does not mean that it'll go down. Now it might, and I think personally that means it'll have a higher probability of going down, but it doesn't mean it will. Similarly, if a stock is super underpriced, you may hear stocks are on sale or it's a screaming buy, right? Because of either technical or fundamental analysis. What that means is it's got a higher probability of going up, but it doesn't mean it will, because probabilities, as everyone knows, just because you flipped a coin and it made tails last time doesn't mean it's going to make heads this time, right? Probability is every single time it has a certain percentage chance. So when you flip a coin, it is a 50-50 chance of being heads or tails. So, you know, the analogy people say, okay, they go to Vegas and they say, well, it's been, you know, the roulette wheel has been red the last 10 times. It's got to be black this time. I'm going to put all my money on black and it comes up red again, let alone that it comes up, you know, zero or double zero, right? But even if we're looking in a totally binary situation, just because you flip a coin 100 times and it was 100 tails, it could be tails the 101st time. It's still a 50-50 shot the next time you flip the coin. And stock analysis, market analysis is the same. So just because it's a 60% or 70% chance that it's going to go up or it's going to go down, when you do that fundamental or technical analysis, that means that there's a 40 or 30% chance that it goes the opposite way. And even a 40 or 30% chance that it's, you know, stays flat, right? So utilizing those analyses, you can get a better idea of where stocks or bonds or the market in general are going to go or where you think they're going to go. But you can only get an idea. You can't get clarity on what's exactly going to happen. And if you can, if you have a history of knowing exactly where the market went, give me a call because we might have a job for you, right? If you know, a lot of people will say, well, I'm really good at predicting the market, but then you ask them to show me the track record and it's not spectacular, right? So if you'd like to get a free consultation, like I said, with our team, give us a call, 503-253-3000, or visit www.pricefg.com. Even if you'd like to come in and just kind of go through the technical analysis or the fundamental analysis that you've done on your portfolio and see how we think it looks from a go-forward basis, we're happy to do that for you as a radio listener. 503-253-3000. We'll be right back with more Investing Simplified.
Leaving an employer can be stressful and overwhelming, but once the dust settles and you're at a new job or perhaps retired, it is important to consider your options for that retirement plan left behind. If this situation applies and you would like to hear more about options available for 401k, 403b, or other retirement account rollovers, please give our office a call at 503-253-3000 to schedule a complimentary consultation with someone on the team to go over your specific and individual situation. We will take the time to get to know you, your goals, and let you know what the best course of action is for you and your family.
Welcome back to Investing Simplified. However you're joining us today, thank you for making us a part of your day. As always, you can catch replays of our show available on our website at www.pricefg.com. You can also go to podcasts. We are using both Apple and Android devices as well as Amazon Music. Today in the studio with me, Matt Sudol here, wealth manager, is Ryan Crandall with eLegacy Law. How are you, Ryan?
I'm doing great, Matt. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. We've recently started a Estate Planning Made Easy segment, and we appreciate you coming on. It helps us dive into these estate planning tasks a little bit more in depth. I think our listeners have appreciated that. And again, if you've got a question that maybe you're thinking on and you'd like to ask us here at Price Financial Group or Ryan at eLegacy, you can email those questions to us, and you can email them to askbo, that's A-S-K-B-O, at pricefg.com, or feel free to text that question to our number here. It's 503-253-3000. If it's a question about estate planning, we'll make sure Ryan gets involved and gets us an answer on one of our follow-up shows. But if it's a financial question, we'll also talk about it on the radio. The show is always better with questions coming from the audience. And since the two of us are sitting here talking to microphones and, you know, everybody's listening in the cars, it's a lot easier if we have interactions. So we appreciate those greatly. Ryan, before you jump in, how do people get a hold of you?
Yeah, they can contact us at elegacylaw.com or give us a call at 888-308-PLAN. And we'd be happy to set up a time for a complimentary consultation where you can learn a bit of more about estate planning, ask specific questions, and find out a little bit more about, you know, what our estate planning process is like.
Yeah, and the complimentary consultation component, you know, it's just a cost as much as your time is worth. So if you've got an hour of your time, half an hour of your time to just pick his brain, I think it's time well spent. So today, we wanted to jump into a topic that pops up in our world quite a bit. And having Ryan on is going to be helpful to kind of see, you know, from the legal aspect, where does this come in? And he's got some examples and a great one that we can share. But a lot of times people will come to us and say, hey, can I just simply transfer all my things over to my kids while I'm alive? Meaning, hey, I've got this house, a rental house, commercial property, maybe it's stock, whatever. And why can't I just move it to my kids before I die? They'll take care of me, or maybe make it a joint ownership. And then when I pass away, you know, they'll just have it. Why can't they do that? So Ryan, the floor is yours. Why is that potentially a problem?
Yeah, it could be a good thing. It could be a bad thing. Kind of just depends on your situation. But something that a lot of people overlook when they're considering transferring an asset like that to their family is the potential loss in what we call the basis step up. And essentially what that refers to is the difference between your tax basis in an asset and what the asset is worth when you sell it, you know, which in the financial world, the tax world, we refer to as your capital gain. And what happens when you transfer an asset during your lifetime, if it's an appreciated asset, so let's say I bought some stock at $10 and now it's worth $100. I haven't realized any gain because I haven't sold it. But if I transfer that asset as a gift to my children, they will inherit my original basis. And so if it's worth $100 now and I gift it to them and they turn around and sell it, they'll have $90 of appreciation that will get taxed at the capital gains tax rates. And that's different for lifetime gifts compared to gifts that I make at death. So if I hold on to that same share of stock and I transfer it as part of my estate to my children when I die, they receive what's called a basis step up, which means that they get a new basis, a new floor, and that's going to be equal to whatever the stock is worth on the day that I died. So if I bought it for $10 and I die and give it to my kids and it's worth $100, now their new basis is that $100. And so they could turn around and sell it right away and pay zero capital gains. We've essentially wiped out all of that taxable appreciation by passing it on at death rather than during my lifetime. And so that's a big difference between lifetime transfers versus post-death transfers from our estate.
Right, right. So what I'm hearing, and we've talked about this on the show before because step-up basis and such come up quite a bit, is that if you're transferring an asset while you're alive, that asset will get the same basis as the owner that you're transferring from. So if I'm gifting my daughter stock, as you said, and I paid $10, she'll have a basis of $10 if it's gifted while I'm alive. So if she turned around and sold it, she'd have a $90 gain. And that's a long-term or short-term capital gain, depending on that. But then if I wait and simply make her a beneficiary on my account or part of a trust, or as you said, an estate settlement, and she inherits it as a part of that, then the basis steps up to the value at death and then potentially have virtually no taxes on it, which is a subject that's been brought up in the politics. We'll see if it comes up during the debates and as we deal with, you know, a new president or existing president, depending on how it all shakes out. But a lot of people always ask, well, how did the wealthy get away without paying taxes? And a lot of the time, the assets they hold are real estate assets, their stock, appreciated assets that have been with the family generation after generation, but then they get pushed from one to the next. And because of this rule that Ryan just went over, they get away without paying taxes. So you have a good example, though, of a baseball player that this happened to?
Yeah. So it's kind of a fun, interesting example and to illustrate this point, because I think a lot of clients, even ordinary clients that maybe aren't uber wealthy, but you know, let's say they've got a commercial property. You mentioned like a rental property. They've got a rental home and they're like, oh, I don't really need the income. Can I just give it to my kids now? That's where we would say, okay, wait, hold on. Let's talk about this basis. And we had an example with a baseball player that we worked with as a client, and pretty legendary baseball player, played in the major leagues, but older gentleman. And he had several items of baseball memorabilia back from his days as a player. So for him, his tax basis in these items was essentially zero. You know, he had uniforms and equipment and baseballs, and he was considering putting those up for auction where they would potentially make hundreds of thousands of dollars in profit. And he didn't really need to. He just was thinking, you know, I feel like doing it. And so we explained to him this concept of a basis, that if he didn't sell them now and just kept them with the family and passed it on to his heirs, then those memorabilia items, instead of being taxed at, you know, pretty much 100% of the value that they sold for, they would get that basis step up if he just left it to the kids. And so that's what he ended up doing. And, you know, he passed away a few years later. And at that point, the family is able to sell all these highly appreciated memorabilia items and not have to pay any capital gains tax on the proceeds.
That could be huge. You know, as we all know, this Investing Simplified radio show was started by Chuck Price back in the day. And Chuck used to say all the time that what you don't know can hurt you. And this is sort of an example right there, where to us in the financial services industry, to legal professionals, this is information that's pretty simple and basic, but it's because we know how it operates and what it means. If you're out there as an everyday American, you may not know about this. And so, again, it could hurt you because maybe you're making moves that you shouldn't. Anytime you're selling property, buying property, things are moving. You've got to consider both the financial aspect, which is important, but then the titling and, you know, the legal aspects of it. And so if you haven't done that, and if you'd like to take advantage of it, Ryan and the crew over at eLegacy can help you. Ryan, what's the phone number for you guys and website one more time?
Yeah, phone number is 888-308-PLAN, and our website is elegacylaw.com. And again, you can just go on our website and pick out a time right there. Usually we can be meeting with you the next day.
Perfect. And so if you have maybe a transaction you're dealing with, or maybe this has been on your mind, I mean, you did say you have complimentary consultations. So at least get on the phone through maybe a call and say, hey, does this situation look like it should be handled differently? And how can you help me? Because again, you get an answer. Maybe Ryan will say, you know what, don't worry about it, you're good to go. Or probably likely he's like, actually, let's look at this under a microscope here and take a look at what is this going to cause you from a tax aspect and gifting aspect and estate tax and all of that as well.
Yeah, because, you know, there are actually some situations where life gifting to family members while you're alive actually is a good plan. It makes good financial sense. And, you know, that comes into play more with the estate tax side of things, particularly for clients in like Washington and Oregon, where we have lower estate tax thresholds, where if you have an estate, you know, in Oregon over $1 million, that's going to be subject to estate tax. And in Washington, you know, a little over 2 million would be subject to estate tax, but there's no gift tax in those states. So in that case, if we're looking to limit the amount of estate tax that would be owed, we might actually want to start making gifts of assets while we're still alive, but we want to pick the right assets and avoid making gifts of those appreciated assets. So if we have things like cash, that can make more sense to start gifting that, so that we're again limiting the value of our estate for estate tax purposes. And when we do that, we can make gifts to, we don't have to give the funds directly to our children or grandchildren. We can gift them to irrevocable trusts that are set up for their benefit, so we can still control, you know, how those funds are distributed and managed over time. But it's a way of kind of limiting the value of the estate and avoiding taxes.
That's huge. I think I picked up on a couple of things. Number one, paying attention to what you gift is key, right? So you got to look at, does it make sense to leave your ownership off to the next generation, or does it not? Maybe it's a different asset. And the second thing is, you don't necessarily have to write a check to your niece Sally or somebody and give the money away if you don't want to, but you still care about Sally and you want to put it in her name in the future. Well, you could potentially put it in a trust is what it sounds like. So you can somewhat control it before it goes off to the next of kin, or it could be in a trust for her. So that's important too. You've got options. So it's not like there's just a one way street onto all of this. And again, it gets very complicated, obviously, the more assets you have and the more things you move around, which is why you need professionals to help you, which is why I appreciate Ryan being on air. And on our side with the finance aspect of things, we do look at things all the time to consider taxes and consider the step up basis. We didn't talk about how IRAs and retirement accounts play into all of this. They don't get a step up in basis. Unfortunately, somebody's going to have to pay taxes on those in the future. But again, it all comes with comprehensive planning that we could offer here. So again, we also offer a complimentary consultation, and our number here is 503-253-3000. We try to tie everything together and then bring in professionals that we need to make sure things are taken care of the right way. Like Ryan, maybe a tax professional, to make sure your plan is fully holistic and does look at all the aspects and of the spectrum. So this has been another episode of Estate Planning Made Easy with Mr. Ryan Crandall. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back with more Investing Simplified.
I'll bet you've heard me talk about eLegacy Law and how Tina and I wanted to protect our family by creating an airtight estate plan. Hey, it's Lars, but eLegacy Law isn't just for our circumstances. They have many ways to help you protect your assets, including community property agreements and pre- and post-nuptial agreements. Whether you're currently married, going through a divorce, or newly engaged or newly married, make sure your estate plan works for you. eLegacy Law is a full-service estate planning law firm that's completely virtual. We worked with an experienced estate planning attorney to get our custom plan done without ever having to set foot out of our house, and you can do it too. The process couldn't be easier. They offer affordable flat fee rate pricing on all estate plans, so no surprises. Go to eLegacy Lars to get the Lars Larson special rate to save $250 using promo code SAVE, only available to my listeners. That's eLegacy Lars to save $250 today. That's eLegacyLars.com. eLegacyLars.com.
Welcome back to Investing Simplified. If you're just now joining us, I appreciate you tuning in for the last segment of today. We've been talking about a lot of things today, but what I like to finish out the show with is questions from our listeners. And we get these sometimes from, you know, families that we serve currently that are radio listeners. We a lot of times get these questions from folks that are just tuning in, maybe folks that have never tuned in before. If you have a question that's been bugging you, send us a message at askbo@pricefg.com, and or you can also call our office, 503-253-3000, if you'd like to just leave a message about which, you know, about questions that you may have. So the first one, you know, I wanted to bring up, we had a question come in. She'd been listening to our show and wanted to ask a question about some HSA plans. And bear with me a second, I will just get it right here. And she's thinking, always thought an HSA is a really great thing if, you know, especially younger people, they can put quite a bit out there. And she thinks that's pretty good unless something's been changed. So she was curious about my thoughts on an HSA plan. And I got to tell you, I really appreciate this question, you know, from, we'll call her B, because we don't want to give away people's, you know, information. But it's a really great question about HSAs. I love the HSA plan. The HSA is one of the best things that's out there. You know, the only negative to it that I can see is that you have to be in a high deductible health plan in order to contribute to an HSA. But if you're young, especially if you're young and single and you're in a high deductible health plan, you don't see the doctor that much. It's mostly preventative medicine. Putting money into an HSA is top notch, because the HSA, the really cool thing, well, there's a lot of really cool things about the HSA, but an HSA can be invested just like an IRA. You put the money in and it's tax deferred, right? So you put the money in and you don't have to use it, you know, right away. If you use it for medical expenses, it comes out tax free, right? So that's pretty great. And you can then, you know, let it grow and you can stash a bunch of money in there. I don't know what the limits are exactly right now, but I know that they run right around $4,000 per taxpayer that you can put in each year. So you can contribute. It's almost like, you know, another IRA. And a lot of people will say, well, you know, that's not an IRA, right? I have to use it for medical expenses. Well, what if I told you that you are going to have medical expenses, and one of them is premiums? right? So think about, what does everybody have to pay premiums on when they retire? That's Medicare, right? Whether you're doing Medicare supplemental insurance or just basic Medicare, if you're getting a Medicare Advantage plan, which, again, if you have questions about those, call our office, Rebecca Levinci, our specialist here in-house, would love to help you. But if you, you know, max out the HSA, let it grow, now you're over 59 and a half and you're thinking about retiring, you can take that money from the HSA, use it to pay your medical premiums, all right? Pay your medical premiums, and it comes out tax-free. So that's tax-free money that's coming out when you have to pay medical premiums. It's almost like a bonus Roth, right? The other thing you can do when you get to that point is just take the money out. It's like an IRA, right? Because it's tax-deferred, so you just got to pay taxes on the growth. It's a pretty great option out there. An HSA is a great piece to use. It just is a sort of niche piece, right? You can only use it for certain situations, right? In terms of if you're using it for medical expenses or if you're contributing to it, in order to be able to contribute to it, you have to be in that high deductible health plan, which can sometimes be a barrier for folks because they don't want to be in this plan that has a really high barrier to when they get medical care. But as this listener B said, you know, if you are young, if you're healthy and only use preventative medicine, an HSA is really great. And you can invest it, right? So just the same as your IRA or your other investment accounts, it could grow. You could have it in cash. You could have it in money market. But you could invest it, you know, potentially in Tesla stock if you wanted, right? Depends on the custodian who you're having help with an HSA. But HSAs are a really great piece of the tax code that can be used, if used properly, can be really good and can be an extra, like I said, an extra retirement planning tool. Second question we had come in, and actually less of a question and more of a topic that this listener wanted me to discuss, is the U.S. debt, the national debt. And if you want to really keep yourself from, you know, from sleeping, as we talk about, we try to take those worries away from you, but go Google it. But you can go to www.usdebtclock.org. It's a pretty gross thing. Chuck and I used to look at it just about every week, but it shows in real time how fast our national debt is growing. And it's just really terrible, right? We're up over $32 trillion. $32 trillion. To give you an idea of how much money that is, the math on it, right? How much money that is to spend $1 billion. If you spent a dollar a second, it would take you 32 years to spend $1 billion. A trillion is 1,000 billion. Right? That's crazy. So there are 32,000 billion. So you can do 32,000 times 32 years. It's, you know, hundreds of thousands of years that it would take to pay off one, you know, pay off the national debt if we paid a dollar a second, right? It just, it's mind boggling. But one of the things that he brought up, this listener brought up, which really I didn't even think about because I don't usually look at the different pieces, right? Which is just crazy. So if you look at the national debt is over, right? Over $32 trillion, like I said. So that means per taxpayer, and you can see this on the website at, you know, usdebtclock.org. Per taxpayer, that means that there U.S. has $249,951 of debt per taxpayer. Right now, debt per citizen is $95,877 because, you know, it's about $100,000 per citizen. Not everybody pays taxes. But I like to look at the debt per taxpayer, right? Because that's where the debt that we look at that and just say, okay, you're a personal taxpayer, right? So you are a personal person, then you've got $249,000 worth of debt. Are you going to be able to pay that off in the next year, the next 2 years, the next 5 years? And I have to give this listener credit because that's the point that he brought up, which is just terrifying, right? So the government is spending money, and I, you know, a lot of times this becomes a political debate, but this particular piece isn't, right? Because this is both Republicans and Democrats that have been in control of the government, the Republican administrations, Republican House, Republican Congress, you know, Democrat president, Democrat controlled House, Democrat controlled Senate. They spend our money to the tune of $249,951 that they are owing per taxpayer. Now, you think about that, and then extrapolate, you know, what you've heard me talk about earlier, you've heard me talk about a lot, the interest rates, right? So in the interest rate that the Fed is raising is what they're actually, what they're having to pay. So they're paying, the government is paying more on their debt than they're bringing in. You know, they're paying more in terms of interest than they are bringing in terms of income. And so that's just an unsustainable, you know, way to go. I don't really know what the answer to that is. You know, I think it was back in the, you know, mid to late 90s when we actually had, you know, a balanced budget and had debt reduction was the last time we did that then. And before then it was, you know, quite a bit before that, right? We've got, you know, no ability, or I don't think there's a desire in Washington to be able to get the debt that we owe down. I'm not even talking about the fact that, hey, we've got a, you know, debt service, right? So like the debt service, you know, on the debt, the interest that we have to pay on our debt right now, that's, let's see, what, $608 billion. That's what the interest is right now, right? $608 billion. That's crazy. That's how much interest, you know, that's how much the debt is, you know, the interest on the debt. So just to service the debt. So that means to me, even though that's a huge number, that's significantly less, right, than the federal government makes in income, right? But the interest on the debt being that high is insanity, right? That's absolute insanity in terms of, you know, the budget and how we're going to get the government, but you know, funded. And to me, what that shows me, at least personally, is that I just don't see any way that taxes aren't going higher, because how are they not going to pay that, right? How are they going to pay that? How are they going to service that debt and be able to pay off the debt, right? Because if we're looking at, okay, well, you know, the federal government makes, you know, what, $4.7 trillion, that's their tax revenue, right? They make, you know, another $14,000 or so in revenue per citizen, right? So $14,000 in revenue per citizen whilst they're owing $95,000 per citizen, if we're talking about citizen, right? So if you were a business, right, would you think a bank would give you money if that was your that was your debt to income ratio? So I think the only way that they're going to be able to increase that is either, you know, increase regular income taxes on us, which I think they're going to do, or increase payroll taxes, right? Because that's the two ways that the government gets most of their money is income tax. And, you know, the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act is set to, you know, expire here coming up in 2025, right? So we talk about this revenue that you need to generate in order to service this debt, in order to pay the debt, especially if interest rates continue to remain, you know, unseasonably high. There is no situation to me where taxes don't come up. So what my takeaway from that is you need to do proactive tax planning for your retirement funds, because how much money is in retirement plans right now? And it's all tax deferred. So the government is licking their lips. Now, I am not saying that they're going to come after your retirement money. I think that's, you know, silly. I think that's a, you know, that conspiracy theory that's out there, but I think that's silly. But what I do think they're going to do potentially is increase taxes specifically on retirement distributions, right? That's a possibility. I don't know if there's anything out there. I haven't heard about anything, you know, proposals or anything, but it seems to me that with the SECURE Act, they already kind of did that with inherited accounts, right? And if they're going to try and come after these tax cuts, they're going to increase taxes, because it's silly to argue that those tax cuts didn't lower taxes on most people, right? So taxes are going to be higher in the future, I think. And if you think so too, you should probably give our office or your advisor a call and say, what are we doing to proactively plan for that? How can we combat this ticking time bomb, because the government has spent all our money and needs to pay it back, right? They've borrowed too much. So that's all I've got for today. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for listening. As always, if you have a question that you'd like to get answered, if you'd like to set up time with one member of our team, give us a call, 503-253-3000, or visit www.pricefg.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for being here. God bless you all, and take care of each other. This has been Investing Simplified.
The opinions voiced in Investing Simplified with Bo Caldwell are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine what may be appropriate for you, consult with an attorney, accountant, financial, or tax advisor prior to investing. Investors cannot invest directly in indexes. The performance of any index is not indicative of any investment and does not take into account the effects of inflation and the fees and expenses associated with investing. A diversified portfolio does not assure profit or prevent losses in a declining market. Roth IRA conversion is a taxable event. Guests on Investing Simplified are not affiliated with Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated. Investment services offered through Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Leaving an employer can be stressful and overwhelming, but once the dust settles and you're at a new job or perhaps retired, it is important to consider your options for that retirement plan left behind. If this situation applies and you would like to hear more about options available for 401k, 403b, or other retirement account rollovers, please give our office a call at 503-253-3000 to schedule a complimentary consultation with someone on the team to go over your specific and individual situation. We will take the time to get to know you, your goals, and let you know what the best course of action is for you and your family. Investing Simplified is brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisory firm. Price Financial Group has been doing estate planning since 1970 and investment and retirement planning since 1975. Individual situations may vary, and the information on this show should only be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Other parties present on this broadcast are not affiliated with Price Financial Group Wealth Management. Investing Simplified is the longest-running live financial program with a certified financial planner, estate planning attorney, and a certified public accountant to answer your questions for free. Leaving an employer can be stressful and overwhelming, but once the dust settles and you're at a new job or perhaps retired, it is important to consider your options for that retirement plan left behind. If this situation applies and you would like to hear more about options available for 401k, 403b, or other retirement account rollovers, please give our office a call at 503-253-3000 to schedule a complimentary consultation with someone on the team to go over your specific and individual situation. We will take the time to get to know you, your goals, and let you know what the best course of action is for you and your family.